It affords us great pleasure to greet our listeners in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring you some thoughts from the Bible. We trust you're in good health and will enjoy the holiday season. Our subject is Dreaming of a White Christmas. This is the subject of a tract that was handed to me the other day. I would like to read what it says to you and then add some other thoughts from the Bible. And I quote, "I am dreaming of a white Christmas." You know the song. Many people somehow put Christmas and snow together. Even Christmas cards sent to the tropics have snow-covered trees and houses. But obviously, these people have Christmas without snow. And perhaps others in colder climates are having too much snow. So the question is, what makes a right Christmas? A dollar a train? Clothes or jewelry? Parties and cards and food? Things and only things? A right Christmas is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is God's great gift to us. He is the beauty and the glad tidings of Christmas. What should you think about this season? Don't dream of a white Christmas. Dream of a right Christmas. The right Christmas is found in Luke 2, 10-11, when it says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The right gift is found in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." The right invitation is found in Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The right Christmas spirit is found in Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The right celebration is found in Revelation 5:12. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." The right response comes from Acts 16:31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You may not have a white Christmas. It really is not very important. But it is tremendously important to have a right Christmas. That's the end of the quote. Whenever we take Christ out of Christmas, it just ceases to be. Christmas trees, Santa Claus, and reindeers are myths, nowhere found in Scripture. Many of these have been brought in by those who know nothing of God's gift, his Son, the Savior. While it is true the wise men brought gifts to the babe, then living in a house, and it is proper for those who believe on Christ to bring gifts to him all through the year, or now, because of his great love to us. Yet how few think of the great gift of God given to a world of sinners who need a Savior. In the Bible, Christ is called God's unspeakable gift. No one could ever have dreamed that God would give his only begotten Son to become man in order to die for us. That's why his name is called Jesus, which means Savior. The only answer we can find for this is the fact that God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Some people are afraid of God and his punishment. They might well be if they die in their sins. But we do not need to be afraid if we claim his love and accept his Son as our personal Savior. There is no fear in love. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The word propitiation means mercy seat. Those who claim Christ as Savior and trust his blood have grounds upon which God can righteously pardon all of their sins and save them. When God's great love dawns upon a person, he will cry out, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." There is an expression often used today, and perhaps many will use it when they receive some exquisite gift this Christmas. They will say, "Oh, it's out of this world." Of course, this is an allowable, exaggerated statement, but it is certainly true of the gift of God, the gift that God has given to us. Jesus often told the people, especially in the Gospel of John, "I am he that came down from heaven to give life unto the world." He is called the Lord from heaven in 1 Corinthians 15:47. In John 6:38, he said in one verse why he came, and I quote, "I am come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me." All men from Adam down have sinned in taking our own way. That's what sin is. Taking our way and not God's. God told Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to eat of the fruit of a certain tree, or eat not of it, and the devil deceived Eve, and she took of it. And then Adam, with his eyes open, partook of it. And both sinned in disobeying God. And so we do. In order to save, God sent his Son down from heaven to become a man and to do what all other men had failed to do. That is to love God. Christ obeyed God in thought, word, and deed. Thus he died as a perfect man for us imperfect sinners. When it says God gave his only begotten Son, it includes Christ's birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. He lived a perfect life, which ended in dying for us. In resurrection, God has received him back to heaven to be a prince and a savior. When one believes on Christ and trusts him, he receives eternal life as a gift. And God's promise that he shall never perish. How wonderful this is. Oh, that men and women, boys and girls, could see the wonder of it and believe it. It takes faith to believe God's word, that he has given us his Son, and faith to believe that we have eternal life because God says so, if we receive Christ. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. Faith reaches out to lay hold of Christ. Only those who have that faith are Christians, a faith that reaches Christ, the Savior. Christ, who came from heaven, has now gone back to heaven as the forerunner of others who will follow him. Hebrews 2:10 says, God is bringing many sons into glory or heaven. Because Christ, our leader, was made perfect through suffering, that means he is a perfect Savior and can bring us there if we trust him. There's only one door to heaven, and that's Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Christ. We must trust him. Those who trust Christ believe God and know they are going to heaven. All others only hope they will be there. But at best it is a hopeless hope. We must have the Lord Jesus Christ as our hope, then heaven is sure. Christianity is not patching up the old creation of Adam. It is a new creation. When a person receives Christ into his heart, he gets a new life. And because of that life, he becomes part of a new creation. It is a new creation of mankind who will live in heaven, not on earth. That's the great work God is doing today. Through Christ, he is giving new spiritual life to those who are born again, that they might become spiritual beings to inhabit heaven, those who were once made for earth. Heaven and all of these blessings he gives us in Christ. We read the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we want these spiritual blessings, these heavenly blessings which God is offering to us as a gift, we must take Christ. He is God's gift to us. Those who take him are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The moment a person receives Christ, his name is written in heaven. John 1:12 says, to as many as receive him, them God gives the power to become the sons of God. As sons, their names are put on God's family roll. And also, because they're made members of the church, their names are on the church roll. And the rolls in heaven are the only ones that count. It is not what we think of ourselves, nor what others think of us that counts. It is what God thinks of us. When a person receives Christ, the Savior of sinners, into his heart, God says, I accept you in my Son. You are complete in him. You don't need anything more than Christ. He's paid your debt, and now he's head of a new creation, and just as man fell in Adam's creation, now he's made righteous through Christ. And he says you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. As Christ is, so are you in this world. We know that Christ is heaven, and God sees every Christian in him up there. In Ephesians 2:6, he tells us, I have raised you up together with Christ and made you sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. In that sense, the Christian is already in heaven. He is there as a member of Christ's body. My friends, the blessings of being a Christian are wonderful. Christians may have troubles and sorrows down here like all others do, but they know their Savior is in heaven, a high priest and an advocate. They know their names are written in heaven. They know their home is in heaven, and they have a Father in heaven who has promised to care for them all the way along. What assurance, what blessing. And every listener can have these blessings by accepting God's gift, by receiving Christ into your heart, even now. The greatest Christmas gift is Christ, given by God. Are you going to accept Him today and thank God for this great gift, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Our sincere prayer is that you will. Shall we pray? Father, we pray thy blessing upon each individual and each home into which our voice is coming today. We ask, Lord, that they might have a good Christmas, that Christ may be in each heart and in the home, that he may be acknowledged and adored and glorified. Thou bless those that are sick and needy and tried and oppressed. We pray that somehow they might be able to look up and trust thee and receive thy blessing, because we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, friends, for listening. God bless you.